Hello, Monica. I'm sure you remember me from the class field trip to the Getty in September. It has been brought to my attention by Mrs. Watson that Fatima may have started a nasty rumor about my Christinia. I hope to clear this up, as we both know how ugly these things can get. It is true that Christinia's hamster died recently, but it is absolutely not true that it died at Chrissy's hand. At no time has Chrissy ever put Hambone or any of her previous hamsters in the microwave, dryer, or dishwasher. What kind of child would make up something like that? It sounds, and I say this respectfully, so I hope you won't be offended, like Fatima has had a very hard time getting acclimated here, and that's understandable. But I do hope you'll deal with her before any such incidents become frequent. Children who start lying young often end up with long-time patterns of dishonesty. All best, Dr. Lucinda Johnston, PsyD, licensed therapist, Welcome Wagon Westwood Primary School, events coordinator, Jack and Jill Claremont Branch. Dear Lucinda, I apologize for my late reply, but I only found your letter at the bottom of Fatima's backpack when I did my weekly cleaning. Thank you for writing to me. So I've already spoken with Mrs. Watson, who made it very clear that she never heard Fatima say a thing about Christinia or her dead hamsters. It was Renee Potts who claimed that Fatima started the rumor. Fatima says she only repeated what Christinia herself told her. Many of Fatima's stories about Christinia this year and last, which I won't recount here, have been disturbing to say the least, but none as disturbing as Christinia's enjoyment of torturing rodents. Fatima has a strong imagination and writes beautiful lyric poetry, which she started reading at age 4, but she does not have a history of lying or telling gruesome stories. And unlike Christinia, she has no history of running off with other girls' shoes while their feet dangle from the monkey bars. I'm absolutely sure that Fatima wouldn't tell stories about Christinia, the hamsters, or the microwave incident if they weren't based on something Christinia had said first. I appreciate your concerns about Fatima, and even though Christinia has made it much more difficult for her to find friends at Westwood, Fatima will acclimate soon. She's going to a sleepover at Emily's this weekend. Is Christinia going? If so, I hope you will encourage her to play nice. Best, Monica Willis, PhD. P.S. It is true that liars who start young often end up with psychological and social problems of the sort that Christinia has demonstrated over the past year. How lucky for you and for Christinia that she has access to psychotherapy through your practice. Stop there.
Wow. Right. I know mothers like that. I know mothers like that. So
do I.
Yes. What would you share? You are teaching writing. I'm assuming you're teaching creative writing. And what do you tell people who want to be writers? You know, we have a writing concentration, creative writing concentration at our college, and it's always a challenge. What can you do? And what advice would you give writers? And what advice would you give to our listening audience, those who are interested in pursuing writing?
Yeah, for students, two things. Keep your day job. I think it's really smart to find something that funds your passion. The writer Alice Randall, who's a visiting writer at Vanderbilt and who wrote The Wind's Ungone, which is the Black sequel to Gone with the Wind, told me that when I was in grad school, to find a way to fund your passion. Because even if you make a lot of money and become one of those really exceptional writers who is prolific and getting super high advances, it's still difficult to maintain that for your entire life. And so not having the stress of how do you fund the writing makes a big difference. And for me, teaching at a university is the sort of perfect way to fund my writing. And then the other thing is always return to play. I've used the word playfulness multiple times because for me, it's kind of fundamental to being a productive writer. Writing is hard. Lots of anxiety comes with it. And learning to manage that anxiety is much more realistic than trying to make it go away. I don't think you can make it go away. But if you can find what you enjoy in the writing, even during the hard times, and if you can return to playful, sort of non-competitive, low-stakes writing, like free writing, you can almost always become inspired again when you're stuck and remember what called you to writing in the first place. And that's a way that I keep myself motivated, even when it's very difficult to stay motivated.
Why, that's very good advice. What are your next projects? What's the future in writing for you?
Well, I'm working on a novel that's under contract with my same publisher, Atria and 37 Inc. at Simon & Schuster. And I think it will revisit Fatima, who is now an adult and is getting involved in some very strange ways of managing her chronic illness, which is endometriosis. She gets involved with a very strange Victorian white cosplay group, and they're thinking about history in problematic ways. But she's also involved with a black group, excuse me, called the DAAR, Daughters of the African American Revolution. And drama ensues from those two groups sort of butting heads with each other.
That's a different take on Daughters of the African American Revolution, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's very interesting. Okay, so...
Hopefully.
Right. Well, part of what we face in running our National Black Writers Conference and even having a Center for Literature, Black Literature, is whether we still need to have a National Black Writers Conference. Is there a need for Black writers to come together and focus on looking at the state of Black literature? Or should we be doing this in a more interdisciplinary way and just having a conference? What are your thoughts on that?
I think there will always be needs for places where Black writers and artists and academics can come together in a place that feels safe. I mean, I've done writing conferences of all kinds, and there's something nice about taking off that top layer of tension, not having to worry about, and obviously not all Black people share the same views or politics, but not having to worry about racism in the space that you're in trying to be productive is huge. That's a really great burden to have released automatically when you're dealing with an all-Black space. And that we're hopefully asking similar kinds of questions also takes a load off, a burden off. So I think that those spaces are really, really important. One of my favorite workshops is the Callaloo Writers Workshop, and it is only for Black people. And again, it was just sort of automatically more comfortable because we kind of had the same goals and vision.
Well, I am in total agreement with you, and I like to always explore that question, because there are still some who say, well, we can learn from each other and we really don't need that space. I've participated in a couple of writers' retreats, not many, but I do know the feeling of being the only one in that space and then ending up feeling called upon to represent in ways that are not totally your own style or what you want to say, and not really being able to get the kind of support and help that I need as a writer. I feel like I'm helping others more than getting the support that I need.
Absolutely. I feel like when people say we can learn from each other, it's kind of one way often. It's that the white people are trying to learn from the people of color, which is an unnecessary burden, and it's unpaid labor. They are attending the conference just like we are, and it's not fair for the students to have to teach other students when that's the job of the faculty in that kind of situation. So again, an all Black space should make that easier.
Right. So thank you. Nafisa Thompson Spires. Congratulations again on your award-winning collection of short stories, Heads of the Colored People. I encourage our listening audience to go out and purchase the book. And I encourage you to stay on the lookout for Nafisa Thompson Spires. This is, I know, just the beginning, and we're going to see much more creative work. So thank you so much. Remember,
thank you so much.
You're welcome. Remember, the writer is always reading, the reader is always writing. Keep reading and writing. Inspire yourselves as readers and writers, and empower yourselves. I want to thank my engineer, Fritz Richardson, and ask you to write us at writers@mec.cumy.edu. This is Dr. Brenda Green signing off.
Next song was inspired by a poem written by Langston Hughes. sure most of you have heard of Langston Hughes. And he wrote a poem about rivers. And we call this song, I've Known Rivers.